The song we sang in verse 1 is said, we were ruined in our sin. We were guilty and undone. Our lives are broken before we came to know the Lord. So we are guilty and undone, but when your love reached down with sovereign hands and beckoned us to come, you sought out the wanderers, make the prodigals come home. So the Lord find us and bring us home. So when we remember this great love, we should be filled with joy. Today I'm going to share two men, the beggar and the rich man. So there are two in the Bible, and I'm going to share about them. We need Jesus, no matter you are a beggar, no matter you are a rich man, no matter what conditions you are. You may be poor, you may be rich. You may be a fool, you may be wise. You may be very educated or not educated. You may be a bad guy or you may be a good guy. No matter what you are, who you are, we all need Jesus. And these two men met Jesus, I would say, on the same day, maybe even within the same hour. And I asked, who would be the beggar I'm going to talk about? Actually, I'm going to refer to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18 and 19. It's going to talk about the beggar, Bartimaeus. And also, the rich man will be following this beggar in the Luke. It's the rich man, Zacchaeus. We are going to look at these two men. But the timing and the place, how Jesus met them, is important. The timing is Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem. It was almost in his last days on earth. So it's the last, I may say it may be the last opportunity for this beggar to meet Jesus. It may be the last opportunity for that rich man to see Jesus. This is the time. And look at where the place, where is that place? If we look at the place, is in Jericho. Now, in Jericho, is not, if you check the history of Jericho, you know it's, if you check on the internet, it will tell you it's one of the oldest city. And not one of the oldest city, it's one of the lowest city. Actually, it is the lowest city geographically on earth. It is 260 meters below the sea level. So the sea is here, but Jericho is much lower. So it's the lowest place on earth, furthest away from heaven. So if you imagine you are at the mountaintop, you feel you are close to heaven, maybe. But when you are in Jericho, you are furthest away from heaven. So spiritually, we may look at it like this. These people who live there, they are furthest away from God. The lowest state, the furthest away from God. So I don't know how you feel about this. This speaks to me. Sometimes when we feel we are at the lowest state in our life, yet Jesus will come to meet you. Jesus will reach out and meet us when you are at the lowest state. And this is the critical time, because if they missed this opportunity to see Jesus, and it seems that the opportunity will be gone. This is the most critical moment in their life. So notice the time. This is the only time, the last opportunity, as if the place is at the lowest state. So it is the most critical moment. This beggar, if he did not meet Jesus, if he did not meet our Lord, then all his life won't be changed. And if that rich man, we are going to talk about Zacchaeus, if he did not meet Jesus, his life will remain the same. Hopeless, undone, broken. So this is the background of this story. This is the critical moment. If he missed it, it won't be the same. Now let's look at this beggar. When it happened, as he talking to Jesus, as Jesus was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Now, not only that he was a beggar, he was blind. So notice the state. Not only he is at the lowest state, furthest away from God, he is in a hopeless condition, blind. Because people at that time, many of them are shepherds or farmers or tradesmen. If you are blind, basically you can't survive. You have to rely on others. You can't help yourself. When you're blind, how can you be a shepherd? When you are blind, how can you be a farmer? No, you can't. So he's living in a hopeless situation. No future. Blind. Darkness ahead every day. And not only that, he was a beggar. His only hope is to rely on others to help him. But not many people help him. So he's hopeless and helpless situation. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. Yet, he's looking for opportunity. And what happened next? So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Ah, Jesus of Nazareth. He must have heard about Jesus. Because before this time, Jesus noticed his condition. He's a blind man. But according to the Bible, in Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 8, John chapter 9, Jesus already healed some blind men. Some even born blind. So this is the last occasion. He was the last blind man to be healed. He heard about Jesus. He knows that Jesus can heal the blind. There comes my hope. Even though I'm at Jericho, I'm furthest away from God. I'm hopeless. I can't see. Even if Jesus walked by, how can I know it's him? Imagine you know about Jesus. He can heal the blind, but you're blind. How can you know Jesus walked by? But people told him, God arranged some people telling him that Jesus of Nazareth walked by. And he said he must be thinking, that's my chance. So what did he do? And he cried out saying, Jesus of Nazareth. No, notice, he said, Son of David. Why he changed to why people say Jesus of Nazareth? Why did he say Son of David? Because this term, Son of David, refers to, according to the Old Testament, Son of David refers to the coming Messiah. And he knows when Son of David, so Jesus healing all this sick, Jesus with this power, he must be the promised one from the Old Testament. He is the coming king. So even though he was born blind, but in his heart, he knows something. Even though people around him may not see. So even though he was born blind, he was blind, but in his heart, as if he knows, he can see Jesus of Nazareth. He is more than Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Son of David. That is why he changed the title. That means in his heart, I know, Jesus of Nazareth, you are the Son of David. You are the promised one. You are the coming king. Have mercy on me. He needs Jesus, God's mercy. We may want mercy from others. We may want mercy from other people. If they don't like me, oh, that's too bad. Let's look at 39. Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now see how he insisted. Son of David, have mercy on me. Usually, this beggar, I would say, he relies on the mercy of those around him. Jesus may be gone one day, but those people, they have to show mercy. They give money to me. So he must be afraid of offending other people all the time. But now, he doesn't care about others. See, he only cares about Son of David. Have mercy on me. So often we care when we ask, should we accept the Lord? How about others? What do they think? So often we think about others. But for them, for him, he only cares about Son of David. Other people stopping him, quiet, warn him, shut up, quiet. He doesn't care about the response of others. He only cares about what Jesus thinks. So this tells us something, isn't it? We should care. Not just care about people more than we care about God. We should care about what God thinks. And then what's next? What would Jesus do? And Jesus stood still. Oh, I really like that. Stood still. He's not moving. Imagine, say, there's a king, there are lots of his servants, there's a parade walking down the road, many people, and suddenly say, Son of David. And suddenly all the people stop, stood still because of you. Who are you? I was in my mind as if there's a, you know, when the queen, her carriages, all the soldiers on horseback riding, hundreds of the length would be a long, long queue of people walking. Suddenly, young man or young boy cry out, Queen Elizabeth! And suddenly the carriage stopped. Wow! How amazing! The king or the queen stopped. Every people stopped, just waiting for you, as if you are someone very important. No one wait for this beggar. He is dispensable. He is not significant in any people's eye. Nobody would stop for him. But yet, Jesus stopped as if the whole universe stopped just because Lord Jesus stopped for him. Jesus focused on him. Jesus treat him as if someone very important. He stopped, stood still. I really like this, stood still. Stood still for him and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, What do you want me to do for you? I think it's obvious. Of course, I want my eyesight. So often when we come to before the Lord, when we think, oh, I need wisdom, give me wisdom. I need money, give me money. I need this, I need that, I need this. But actually, that may not be your real problem. Today you may think, I need money. But once you got money, is all your problems solved? Today you don't think, I need good health, but when you get older, you may say, oh, I need good health. But is money the only thing you need? Is health the only thing you need? So these questions cause me to think. So often we focus on the immediate need, temporary need. Even today I may think, oh, I got hungry, give me bread. But after this bread, if God provide me a meal, after this meal, what's next? I need more. So, Brothers and sisters, so often we don't know our real need. We only focus on today, my feeling. For him, of course, I understand. We all understand he needs his eyesight. But today you have your eyesight. If the Lord asks you, what do you want? What can I do for you? Does it mean you have no other thing you want? Do you have any other needs? For him, of course, eyesight. For you, what do you want? If you have that, does it mean that you are complete? Are you happy? Oh, I need money. If the Lord gives you money right now, do you have any other needs? What is your outermost need? If the Lord gives you eyesight right now, if you are born blind, if you got eyesight, what would you do next? Oh, I got my eyesight. Good, I'll go sightseeing. I'll watch a movie. I can see my family. I can see the face of my daughter. Oh, I can go and visit someone I love. I can tell them I'm good and well. What I'm saying is, if the Lord granted you what you wished, is that it? What would you do after that? I want money. If the Lord gives you money right now, what would you do after this? I want health. If the Lord gives you health right now, solving all your problems, what would you do if you have good health? What would you do if you regain your eyesight? What would you do? How do you make your life better? How would you make your life meaningful after you got what you want? So not just the eyesight problem. After you got back your vision, how are you going to use your vision? If the Lord granted you, I want a son. The Lord gave you a son. What would you do after this? I want money. If the Lord gives you money, what would you do after the money? How are you going to use the money? Now, that is a bigger question. If I'm Jesus, I'm Mr. What do you want me to do for you? Let's go on to verse 41. Lord, that I may receive my sight. If I were Lord Jesus, I may say, so if I give you your eyesight, what would you do next? Now, that really tests his ultimate goal. If I got my eyesight, I can look for a job. I can get a house. I can get a wife. I can have a family. I can live happily ever after. What would be your answer? What do you think what will happen next? What do you think once he got his eyesight? If he got his eyesight, what would you want? I want to study, got a good grade. What would you do after you got a good grade? I want to be wise. What would you do if you were made wise? I want to be healthy. What would you do once you got your health? Let's see. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Now, before I move on, your faith has made you well. The faith is not that I'm going to receive my eyesight. I'm going to receive my eyesight. Not what happens to him. The faith is referring his faith to, not what happened, to Jesus. Because his faith is on the mercy of him who can do things. So the faith is not on thing, but the faith is on a person, Jesus Christ. His faith is on him. Let me emphasize this. Now, after his faith on him has made you well, and immediately, what did he do? He received his sight. And where did he go? Now, that is the question. Once you receive your eyesight, I'll go to Disneyland. I'll go everywhere. I make money. No, he followed him. He followed him. Once you got your health, he followed him. Once you got your eyesight, he followed him. Once God solved your problem, what would you do? He followed him.
followed him.
Why? To glorifying God. Is your life glorifying God? Restoring your eyesight? Would you make use of this to glorifying God your whole life? It did not talk about his future. It just talked about his decision to follow Jesus. His purpose is to glorify God. I think that's good enough. It doesn't tell us that what job he got, what bright future he has, but his decision to follow Jesus. So when God granted your wish, granted our wish, how are we going to live our life? Following him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, give praise to God. Now this is the beggar. Hopeless, helpless, lowest state when he has faith in this promised king. When he fully restored, how did he use his life to follow Jesus? Okay, now let's see another one. The rich man, his name is Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, after that incident, even that may be, these two men met Jesus, maybe even within the same hour, I don't know. This Zacchaeus, he may even know Bartimaeus, the blind man. It doesn't mention his name in here, in Luke, but in Mark, it mentions his name is Bartimaeus, the beggar. So I wonder if Zacchaeus have known or seen Bartimaeus. They may know one another. He was a rich man there. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And then next, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now we try to focus more, knowing more about this man. Zacchaeus, his name, one thing, chief tax collector, his job, and he was rich, he was a rich man. That's why I say he was a rich man. One more thing in verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not see because of the crowd, and he was of short stature. He was a short guy. Okay, so we know these three about him. Now, before we move on, let's think about this. Being in short stature, relative, it mentioned like that because he must be really a short guy. In other words, most of us are here normal height, isn't it? I don't know if you know the heart of a short people. When you have to look up to other people all the time and all the people have to look down to you, talk to you like that, you always feel that you are below standard, isn't it? If I want to play basketball, making a team, I won't choose him. I would pick the tall guy. He was always left out, isn't it? So in normal people's standard, he's below standard, not good enough. If I want to employ a laborer, I won't find him. If I want someone to help me to pick the fruits from the tree, I won't find him. So I would say in his life, he always felt that he must still, it's a disadvantage of him. People maybe look down upon him. That's a short guy. He may suffer humiliation or rejection. He's not good enough. If I pick laborer, I will left him out. Isn't it? He may always feel, I'm not good enough. So I will feel in his heart, there's a sense of insecurity when he was very young. He had tried to, because I was shorter than most people, nobody will pick me, I must struggle. He wants security. How can he get his security? If he got money. So if one day this short guy can be rich, he doesn't have to rely on others. Now, when I was short, I have to listen to other people. But once I got rich, people has to listen to me. So he has to struggle to get money. Now look at his job. Chief tax collector. By that time, the Romans, they try not to get money from people by themselves. The Romans will find a Jew. So it's easier for a Jew to collect money from Jews. So they find, okay, this is a job. Who wants the job? So someone say, I'll come and do the job. So they pick. One day they pick Zacchaeus. So he is preying on his brother, his countrymen. He's preying on the Jews and to serve the Romans. So in the eyes of the Jews, this is a traitor. They hate him. He's a sinner. Because when you give the tax to the Romans, you can ask for more from the people. So I ask for 20, I give the Romans 10. So I'll be rich. And that's why he got rich. That's why people want to be tax collector. And becomes the chief tax collector. He must be really smart. Even though he was short, he must be brilliant in his mind. To compensate because of his shortness, he must be a smart guy, knowing how to do things, knowing how to make his way. So he is short, but he's smart. He wants money, he will get money. He wants a job, he will have his job. Even though it's against his conscience, he takes more money than he needs. People in that area, living in Jericho, they don't like him at all. He is a sinner. We don't like him. I can imagine, yes, he is now rich, but he got no friends. No one loves him. They hate him. When he comes among the crowd, people don't show him respect. Maybe give him a kick or hit, something like that. When he's trying to see something, they block his view. So in verse 4, now, there's something. He sought to see Jesus. I'll talk about that. Who Jesus was. He wanted to know about Jesus. Maybe he heard about how he healed Bartimaeus outside. So, Jesus can do that? In his heart, he's looking for something. He got no friend. In his heart, he's looking for, now I got money, but he's lonely. He needs acceptance. But nobody accept him. Nobody love him. There's a great emptiness in his heart. He may not speak it out, but there's some sort of unexplained unfulfilledness, unfull, emptiness in his heart. He is not happy to be like this. In a way, he is in pain. I don't know how you feel your life, but he, even though he's rich, even though he got what he wants, there's a need inside of him. Money cannot fill it up his heart. There's a longing, there's a thirst in his soul. He needs something, and yet he does not know what it is. But when he... Now, what would be his security? His security is money. Because once he got money, he feels he's safe. But once he got money, he finds emptiness inside. Now, when he saw a poor man, the beggar, Bartimaeus, happily follow Jesus, what would he feel? How can a man with no money be so happy? Whereas I got so much money and I'm not happy. This Jesus is very, very special. I got to see him. I got to see Jesus. And in verse 4, so he ran ahead. People blocked his way. He could not, because of the crowd, he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. And yet, remember what I say? He is a smart guy. When he thinks of something, nothing can stop him. When he's far, he can run. He can run fast. And ahead, well planned. I know where he's going to pass through there. I run ahead. Now see how smart he is. He won't be at the back. He thinks. No, he's smart. And climb up into a sycamore tree to see him. Nothing can stop him. He can climb. He's short, but he can climb. He's far, he can run. You see, there's an urge in his heart. He's a smart guy. But now, if he climbed up, as he was going to pass that way, so he wait there. Now, without going further down, I ask you, if you are Zacchaeus, if you are up the tree, let me ask you, what's the use? You see Jesus walk by, like this. Within 10 seconds, he walked past you. So what? You can see him. So what? Are you going to say anything? What are you going to say? What can you say? With all these people around you, will he notice you? Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know your heart? Would Jesus know your problem? Even though I ask you, Zacchaeus, tell me, why are you not happy? It's very deep in his soul, this emptiness. Deep in his soul, this insecurity. He thinks money brought him security, but no. Money brought him loneliness. People hate him. He got further away from people. That's his heart. He doesn't know how to explain. Sometimes you're not feeling okay. When you see the doctor, you don't know how to describe, oh, I'm not feeling well. Where is your problem? The doctor may ask you, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's very deep inside. So he has got a deep problem. I analyze it a lot for you. Ah, his insecurity. If within that 10 seconds, maybe Jesus walked by, within that 10 seconds, can you tell Jesus all this? Would he know? Would he care about you? No use. Why would you still climb up? What are you going to say? What can you say if you are Zacchaeus? Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want me to do for you? I got money. I got no friend. Can you say I got no friend in front of so many people? He's afraid of alienation, humiliation from the people. That's why he tried to get money. So it's really hard for him to say anything. So that's why I ask you, if you are Zacchaeus, if you climb up the tree and if Jesus is going to walk past you, what can you say? It's hard to say anything. I can just see him walk by and miss all my opportunity. At this lower state, at this critical moment, I got nothing. I don't know what to say. The problem is, sometimes I want help, but people don't know you. How can they help you? I want to help you, but I don't know your situation. How can I help you? And within the 10 seconds, can he explain all his needs to Jesus? Would Jesus stop? Okay, I stop. Tell me what's your problem. Can you say all your problem within 1 second or 10 seconds? Would somebody care? And if somebody know you, who you truly are, you are a sinner. You don't have conscience. You are a traitor. Your sin. You are a horrible person. That's why people reject you. If Jesus knows who I am, he may reject me as well. That's the problem. He doesn't know me, he can't help me. He knows me, he may reject me. I'm Zacchaeus. When he say, hey Jesus, I'm Zacchaeus, and people may throw stone at him. So, we need help, yet we are afraid to ask for help. If I tell you how sinful I am inside, would you still be my friend? No, possibly you reject me. That's the problem. You don't know me, we'll be very far away. If you know me, you'll try to stay away from me. That's the problem. How he can't do anything, even though he climbed up the tree. Next. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. This saw, this Greek word in another place, sometimes is translated as understand him. Understand. That means Jesus not just coming down, stop, look up, and in his look, he fully know that person. Jesus knows you and me, brothers and sisters. Know your struggle. Know your heart. Know all the pain. Know all the sin. Know all your guilt. You don't need to say anything. He knows. And he said to him, Zacchaeus. That's why he knows. He didn't call him sinner. He didn't call him tax collector. He didn't call him rich man. Zacchaeus. No one introduced him. Jesus already knew him. Not knowing his name, but knowing all inside him, his life, his weakness, his struggle, his failures, his fear, his insecurity. Jesus knows all. When we come to the Lord, he knows you all. Make haste and come down. Come. Come down. Come to me. He did not say, go away. You horrible sinner. I despise you. I hate you. Go away from me. He said, come. Come to me. He knows our weakness. He accepted us. Come. For today I must stay at your house. Stay at your house means I'm your friend. I accept you. You accept me, I accept you. He did not say, on one condition, take away your dirty money first, then I'll come to your house. He did not say that. Be good. If you change to be good, then maybe I'll come to you. If you're still no good, no way. Get away from me, you filthy person. No. Jesus, just come. So,
He made haste and came down.
I think this is, there are so many other things that did not say in here, which is very meaningful, we can think of.
And his response, he made haste and came down. I think he
just dropped down. Nobody being so friendly to me. Nobody showed such acceptance to me before.
And received him joyfully.
I think this is such a great joy in his heart. Money cannot bring him joy. His house full of maybe unrighteous money, but no such joy. But this holy man, even willing to come to his house, brings him such joy. He never find acceptance like this before. Jesus did not make a bargain or make a deal with him. You do this, then I'll do this. No. Come down, I accept you. I'll be your friend. Such love, such invitation.
And look at the response of the other people. But when they saw it, the people saw it, they all complained or murmured in another translation. He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. People look at him, a sinner.
Once he's a sinner, he's forever a sinner. He does not. He needs to be condemned forever. But Jesus accepted him.
Love him.
And let's go on.
Jesus did not say, you must be good in love. Good enough, then I'll come and be your guest.
So just as you are, we can find this unconditional love.
Let's go further. He is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, he did not say, no, I have not sinned. He said, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor.
I'll give. In the past, if you ask him to give to the poor, never. I am the poor guy. So he robbed, he took money from others, he made others poor so that he become rich. Now his life turned around. He let his money go out. Why? In the past, money brought him security. Now once this, Jesus did not say, take away the money first, then I'll come. No, Jesus come to him first. Now the timing is important, the order is important. When this precious Lord come into his life, come into his house, willing to come, this is the security he has been looking for. The security does not come from the money. The security comes from this unconditional love from Jesus. I am secure, not because I got money. I am secure. I can give to others because I receive unconditional love from Jesus. I got money, I don't have security. I got everything, I don't have security. I have to hold on to my wealth. But once I got this unconditional love of God, money is no longer the problem. I can give away the money. I can show mercy and kindness to others. You see, this is a great change. In the past, he always think of himself. Money, money, money. Now he think about poor people. He need money. I can give to them. Why? Because what this precious Lord, unconditional acceptance to you, gives you the security.
And he even say, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.
I wonder how much money he would left. But he doesn't care anymore. In the past, he was slave to money, but now he was set free. This rich man is rich indeed. In the past, he was rich in money. He was rich in loneliness. He was rich in insecurity. Now, he lost all the money. Now, he's rich in security. He's rich because he finds true acceptance from God.
He's no longer slave. Let's see the verse. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham.
He received true salvation. Salvation from insecurity. Salvation from the love of money. Deliverance. Are you saved, brothers and sisters? Have we find true security? Have we find the acceptance, unconditional love of God set us free from all the worries, from all the insecurities, if we find love in God?
And the last verse, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
You think he's a rich man? He was a lost man. Lost in money, lost in fear, lost in sin. And at this lower state, we may envy him, a rich man, good. But in his soul, he was crying for loneliness. He was crying for, he needs love, acceptance. He's at this poor state, but now the Son of Man, Jesus, come to seek and save him. He's crying for help. He's in a desperate condition. So no matter what state you are in, brothers and sisters, when we feel we are in desperate condition, our life is undone. Just like the song we sing, we were ruined in our sin. We were guilty. We were guilty. We are undone. But when your love reached down, Jesus, with sovereign hands, yes, I give you sight. Yes, I'll come to your house, and beckoned us to come. You sought out the wanderers, make the prodigals come home. Jesus sought the poor man. Jesus sought the beggar. Jesus sought this so-called rich man and bring them home. Jesus come to save which was lost. We thank our Lord. Once, now we remember the beggar. What can we learn from the beggar? He was in a hopeless, helpless, lower state. But when he have faith in Jesus, Jesus restored his life, solved his problem. But not only that, once his problem solved, he followed Jesus. My question is, when you feel a need, when Jesus solved your problem, how are you going to do with that after that? Eyesight restored, are you going to follow Jesus? This is one question. The rich man, his insecurity, his security is with money. But true security is not who you are. Not because you are smart, not because you are strong, not because you have money. True security is not what you have. I have a house, I have money. True security is not what you are or what you have. True security is God's love. True security is his acceptance. Thank God, when we are in desperate condition, he came to find us. He loved us and called us to be his own. Let's sing, You Made Us Your Own. Again, especially verse 1. So fit to our story today. You made us your own. Father, when we read this story, we are touched by your great love. You know we are ruined in our sin, and we are our life guilty and undone. Thank you for coming to seek the sinners like us. You know our sin, you know our guilt, and yet with unconditional love, you accepted us. You called us your own. You want us to be your own. Lord, let us put down all our excuses, all our fear, and come to you to accept you as our Savior and to follow you and love you and honor you. For such a great salvation, such a wonderful Savior loves us. We thank you for your words. We thank you for today. We can come before you. We love you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.